So one of the best views, and very few people have actually seen this view, one of the best views I think in Hawaii, perhaps in the entire world, is from the toilet on top of, on the side of Mokua Veoveo Crater, which is at the summit of Mauna Loa. It's really just a toilet seat. There is no outhouse or anything else. But from that throne, there is an amazing world that stretches out in front of you. I first saw it when I was 18. I went up there again when I was 26. Another time I went up when I was 48, and another time when I was 51. And I hope to get up there at least one more time in my life. 13,200 feet above the sea, wild and crazy trail that leads up to there. And there sits this throne. And during the day, from that throne, you can see across Mokua Veoveo to the true summit of Mauna Loa at 13,700 feet. And just beyond to the right, you can see Mauna Kea. If you allow your imagination, you can see through the summit of Mauna Loa and see Hualalai and Haleakala on the other side. During the daytime, or as the sun is beginning to set, looking to the west from there on that throne, you can watch the world just become darker and darker. And when you have an expanse that stretches a horizon that is almost a 360-degree view, you realize that darkness that descends upon us is somewhat like the aperture of a camera that slowly and slowly and slowly closes. So it may be bright here and dark up there. And in the same thing, if you're up in the morning and you're looking east, you see that same aperture growing, growing, growing until you have brightness all around you. And at night from that spot, you can see, scientists tell us that we can see about 2,000 stars with our eyes without any instrument. And you can see almost all 2,000 of those stars from that throne. And you can see stars that you won't see in many places, because up there, high enough, you can even see beyond the horizon to the Southern Cross at certain times of the year. You can see shooting stars. You can see all sorts of things. And it is a place, I tell you all this because it's a place for deep, deep pondering. Bill Bryson wrote a book at the turn of the century. He wrote a book, and the book is called A Short History of Nearly Everything. If you are not a scientist and you want to understand our world, I highly recommend it. It is a fascinating, and Bill Bryson is a humorous writer. It's really quite wonderful. And one of the things he talks about is the reality of just how massive space is. Because here when I'm sitting on that throne at Mauna Loa and I can see those 2,000 stars, I'm just beginning a tiny little glance into the world that is in front of us, that pale blue dot that is our world. What Bill Bryson says is if you were to reduce the Earth to the size of a pea, Jupiter, one of our planetary neighbors, would be 1,000 feet away from you. Pluto would be 1.5 miles away. I grew up in science books where they showed the solar system, and here was the sun, and there was Pluto, and there was Earth right there, and in between you had Saturn and Neptune and Jupiter and all those other planets and all, and they were all fairly close. Our neighbor, if we were the size of a pea, is 1,000 feet away. Pluto is 1.5 miles away, and the closest star is 10,000 miles away if we were the size of a pea. And that's just in our solar system, which is the planets that are revolving around our single sun, which is one of 100 billion to 250 billion stars in the Milky Way. One galaxy of over 100 billion galaxies in the entire universe. You stand up there and you see those stars and you see that darkness and you see that beauty and you realize how massive is all of that. And the fact that we are here is truly miraculous. And Bill Bryson invites us to also go inside, because right now each of you sitting here has about 750 trillion atoms that have decided to congregate around themselves and make you. 750 trillion atoms that have done that. And he says the other is, what's amazing is, for 3.8 billion years, every forebear of each of you on both sides has been attractive enough, well, that goes without saying, to find a mate healthy enough to reproduce and sufficiently blessed by fate and circumstance to live long enough to do so. Not one of your pertinent ancestors was squashed, devoured, drowned, starved, stranded, stuck fast, untimely wounded, or otherwise deflected from life's quest of delivering a tiny charge of genetic material. You have a 3.8 billion year ancestry. And anywhere along that line, if that chain were broken, you would not exist. That's an amazing reality. So I'm not sure whether it was sitting there on that throne at the top of Mauna Loa and pondering deep thoughts that I began to put together a phrase that has made a whole lot of sense in me. But as I looked at the world and I looked at God's creation and I looked at the beauty of what was out there in front of me, I began to understand the truth is that we are each a part of, not apart from, God's creation. We are each a part of, integrated into God's creation, but we are not a part of. But we live in a world that wants to sometimes see ourselves as a part of special, more significant than anything else that has ever been created. But in fact, in this massive expanse of the universe, we are simply a part of it all. An essential, an important part of it, but we are a part of it, not apart from it. And as I began to ponder on that for years and years and thought about that phrase, I began to think about how can I represent that phrase without words. And what you have inside your bulletin on the pretty side is exactly my visual representation of what it means to be a part of, not apart from. And the part that I struggled with the most when I was putting together this design in my mind was how to represent humankind. How to represent humankind in a picture in a way that doesn't say, look how important we are. Just look how important we are. And I've been blessed in my life by being surrounded by some wonderful Hawaiian people who have taught me about many things of Hawaiian spirituality. And the piko sign, which is that spiral that you see in the middle of the triangles, that piko is a symbol in Hawaiian spirituality of life. That is actually when the child is born, the umbilical cord is taken and buried in that spiral pattern. And oftentimes a plant is planted on top of that. And that piko, therefore, that symbol becomes a symbol of life. What is so very amazing about that is the Hawaiians understood that we have three piko, and I've talked to you about this before. We have this piko that connects us to our past. We have the piko that is our genitals that connects us to the future. And we have the piko, the fontanelle at the top of our head that connects us to the spirit world all around us. And so for me, when I decided how can I put humankind into this design, the piko became an obvious thing to see. And you can see there's this repeating pattern there of mountains and sea and wind and spirit and humankind, all part of each other, no one part separated from the others. And then I realized, you know, yes, I wanted it to evoke a Hawaiian sense, but the truth of the matter is it is exactly the biblical sense there as well. The scripture 19:1, Psalm 19:1 that Meredith read for us this morning, The heavens declare the glory of God. The expanse shows God's handiwork, which we are all a part of. There is perfection in all of that that restores our souls, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. In that reality that we are a part of, not apart from, that we are integral and integrated into all of God's creation, we find that sense of perfection. That sense of balance and harmony that God has created the world with. So from there, on my throne, on the summit of Mauna Loa, I can ponder these deep things and see this reality that is a wisdom that has been passed on through our Hebrew ancestors. It is a wisdom that we find within Native American tradition, within Native Hawaiian tradition, within any and many spiritual traditions. What is really interesting, that wisdom that comes from our heart, that comes from our spirit, is in so many ways matched by knowledge, which is what we have in our brains. So wisdom from the heart, knowledge from our brain, and on the slopes of Mauna Loa, on the other side of Moku'a Veoveo Crater, so here sits on the one side, the southern side, this throne that you can ponder your deep thoughts. You cross Moku'a Veoveo, go to the other side, go down the slopes, face to Mauna Kea. There are instruments there. And those instruments exist to tell, in knowledge, the story that we know in wisdom. Those instruments were put in there in the 1950s, and they have a single task. And that single task is to record the parts per million of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. That's where all of those figures comes from, is the slopes of Mauna Loa. And in the 1950s, when those instruments were first put on the slopes of Mauna Loa, the parts per million were 310. A little bit higher than what scientists in later discoveries have been able to figure out was the parts per million in the pre-industrial world, but not significantly higher. Then it was about 280. 1950s, 310. 1988, 350. Some of you are familiar with the organization 350.org. That 350 comes from that number, 350 parts per million, which has been established as the upper limit of parts per million of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere that will allow us to maintain that balance and harmony that is so an essential part of this creation that we are a part of, not apart from. That was 1988, 350. By the time we hit 210, we had passed 400, and we are still pushing on past there. And the impacts of the fact that we, as our science, as our knowledge tells us, the impacts of the fact of that push beyond 350 tells the same story that we hear throughout the scriptures. It tells a story. It tells a story of humankind that has chosen to make choices that are based not upon balance and harmony, not upon love, but based upon stuff and things and selfish interests. And what do we see as a result of that? Have anybody noticed how hot it is? Do any of you remember growing up here in Hawaii when a 90-degree day happened maybe once or twice in the summer was not the given for the summertime? That's part of what's happened when we've moved past 350. Have we noticed that there are a few more hurricane warnings every year than before, not just here, but around the world? Have we noticed that there are greater droughts and greater amounts of rain falling simultaneously in different parts of the world? Have we noticed the fact that the glaciers are melting? There are 7 glaciers in the Himalayas that provide the fresh water for about 1 billion people. And those glaciers are melting, and the fresh water supply is becoming limited. The snows of Mount Kilimanjaro are almost all melted at this point in our time. The coral reefs are dying as a result of what is going on. The coral reefs provide the protein for about 1/3 of the world's human population. And they are dying as a result of the choices that we have made. Humankind has made a choice to look after stuff and things and the things that are of our self-desire and interest, and not look to the balance and harmony, not look to what the wisdom of the expanse of God's universe that is in front of us. The heavens declare the glory of God, where all is perfection, where our souls are restored, and yet we choose something else. And here's the reality. We are certainly not the first to do that. Proverbs, the first scripture that Meredith read for us, the voice of Sophia, the voice of wisdom, speaking, the co-creator, the female co-creator with God of all that exists in the world. Whenever we read the voice of Sophia throughout the Bible, we find a voice that is usually very joyful, very kind, very welcoming. Sophia is having none of that in today's scripture. Sophia is angry and upset. Sophia says, "You have hated knowledge. You've hated what is up here. You've hated what you know through knowledge. Wisdom, which may be from our hearts and our spirits, wisdom says alongside of you have hated knowledge, alongside of forgetting to be in awe of God. Wisdom says, I have called you and you have refused and ignored my counsel. And now you will suffer the consequences. You will eat of the fruit of your own way and be filled with your own schemes." Sophia, the voice of wisdom in the Bible, speaks to us and says, you've chosen to ignore the heart. You've chosen to ignore the wisdom of God. You've chosen to ignore the knowledge that you have, and there are consequences to that. And this has been happening. Proverbs was probably written 3,000 years ago. So it's not as if it is not a new story. And yet I will tell you, in the last couple of years, there has been a far greater assault on knowledge and on that wisdom of balance and harmony, on that wisdom of living in a world guided by love, and on the knowledge that backs up how we need to do that. We, the United States, are now the only country in the world that has not signed on to the Paris Climate Accord. The only one. There were two others. They've signed on. It's just us now. We have just begun the process of eliminating the fuel standards and emission standards that were initiated about 5 or 6 years ago that would have forced innovation, would have forced us to cut our carbon emission in ways that would have been profound in the transportation department, and we now are getting rid of those. We are presently propping up the coal industry in pursuit of votes, nothing else, so that that industry that can continue to foul the atmosphere, continue to put carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, will continue to do so even though solar, tidal, wind are more effective and more cost effective. Right now, we have seen more than 200 pages taken down from the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA website, that talks about climate change, that tells of the reality of climate change, and we have seen that removed from the federal government website so that the public can no longer read it. I could go on with bullet points like this for about an hour, and I can already feel myself getting heated up in the process. What has happened is if you take the pretty side and look at the not-so-pretty side, this is the reality. Humankind has gone from, on the pretty side, being a part of, integrated in, integral of, not dominant of, to the other side, where we have begun to now make everything about ourselves in this world. And the more we do that, you notice that the mountains and the sea and the skies are obliterated and destroyed. I made a decision a number of years ago, once I had created this design, to have that design tattooed on my body. That's why I'm wearing shorts today. It's not because it's so hot, although it's a good excuse. So some of you have seen I have this tattoo here on my left ankle, and I have that tattooed on my body for one purpose only. It is to remind me that when I look down at my feet, to remind me, actually two purposes, to remind me that one, I am a part of, not apart from all of God's creation. And two, to remind me that it is my responsibility, our responsibility, with every step we take, to be part of that balance, to be part of that harmony, to be part of that love that God has created this world with. That is my responsibility. And so I tattooed that on my body to remind me. God asked for a more profound inscription. Just two chapters after Proverbs, Sophia's rant in the first chapter, Sophia comes around and says, "Do not let kindness and truth forsake you. Write them on your hearts." The wisdom that has been passed down from generation to generation within our spiritual tradition, the wisdom that has been passed on from generation to generation amongst Native Hawaiians, amongst Native Americans, amongst indigenous peoples from around the world, the wisdom that has been passed down from generation to generation from every spiritual tradition in the world to live in a world of balance, to live in a world of harmony, to live in a world consistent with, so that we are in fact integrated and integral but not separate and away from and thinking ourselves more special. That wisdom has been ignored. The knowledge that goes along with it, 310, 350, 380, 400 and up, the knowledge that goes along with that, that tells us the brilliance of that wisdom, has been ignored. And God simply says, write the truth on your heart. For if we write the truth on our heart of the way in which we shall live, the way in which we are called to live with one another, with all that God has created, in balance and harmony with one another, if we write that truth upon our heart, then it will be seen in our actions and in our very being. Tattoo away if you wish. I'm happy to share this with you. But more importantly, inscribe it in your heart. The world awaits people of faith around the world to make a choice to no longer disavow themselves of the wisdom we find in our traditions and to no longer disavow themselves of the knowledge that is a perfect match of that wisdom. Amen.